right. Hey, Gary, can I have my lavalier turned up? Thank you. All right. Does everyone have a copy of the handout that was on the table? Everyone? Okay. There was also a single sheet piece of paper. Irene and Tom Ward could not be here today, and they wanted to share that letter. So there were only a few copies of that made. If you've read it, pass it along to another friend, if you would, so that they have a chance to read it too. There we go. Anyone who didn't get the single? Okay. All right, great. I think this is perfect. Thank you, and thanks for your willingness to not make our wonderful confirmand run so hard with the microphone today. Well, I appreciate all of you being here and to trust the movement of the Holy Spirit to remain open to the ways that God is calling us to be the church in the world today. So I'm going to do a little bit of talking here at the beginning just to kind of walk us through some things. First, I really want to be clear about our purpose in gathering today, okay? So this is a congregational conversation, not a meeting. No motions, no decisions, we are talking. So the purpose of what we are doing is for me to provide some background to you about the opportunity before us, and for you to share your initial thoughts and questions. And I know because we're not like making decisions today, that might cause a little bit of tension for some, but I would invite you just to kind of lean into that energy for that to be a tool for discernment. So to start us off a bit, let's begin with a word of prayer. Holy and loving God, for this opportunity to come together to be your people, to hear where there are needs in the community and the chances that we have to respond. God, may we model your peace and love and compassion with one another in our conversations today. Amen. So I'm going to go way back for just a second. I'm going to go 8 years ago back to when I first became your pastor, and I heard two very pressing questions. The first was, how can we be good stewards of our building and grounds that both help us live into our mission and can provide financial support to help us do that? That's just one question. It's a long run-on sentence. But the second is kind of a statement first. I heard over and over and over again about what a great job that Gates Presbyterian Church does supporting mission partnerships in the city of Rochester and in Guatemala and Jamaica. And the question that also came up was, how can we do a better job serving our neighbors right here in Gates? And these are such great questions. And I think it's taken 8 years, God's possibilities, for an opportunity to emerge and a way that we might be able to respond. So I know that folks have had their own parking lot meetings. It's all right. You're talking about this. There's good energy for it. But I want to be very clear that trustees and session have not made any decisions about anything yet. In fact, a good deal of our session meeting last month was spent talking about how we have not had enough time to fully explore this. But I thought that it might be helpful that before session and trustees have talked this to death and it feels like a done deal, that you all would have a chance to raise your thoughts and questions and feedback about the broad concept of this possibility. So I'm gonna have session stand up. Who is someone, so you can see who your session members are who are here. Okay, those are your session members. Thank you for being here. Trustees, who are your trustees? Bill gets to stand up twice. Okay, here are some of your trustees. And I'm going to have the team that's been working on this. You guys can sit. Stand, Dick, you want to stand one more time or just wave your hand? There we go. Okay, so it's always good to put faces and names together. And for you all also to know that what we are doing today is talking about the big picture opportunity, okay? So we are not today exploring all the details. We will have follow-up conversations to do that, and I know that also brings up frustrations, but we can't jump to 6, 7, 8, and 9, those steps, without starting here, okay? So here's a little bit of the background on what you're looking at and how all of this came to be. So two things were happening here in Gates. You may not be aware of this, but Gates Presbyterian Church has been named in this community in Gates as on the forefront of responding to the opioid epidemic here in Monroe County. We here at Gates Presbyterian Church are one of the major communities that are supporting those who are struggling with addiction. We welcome persons already into this church almost every single day of the week. And I've attended press briefings and trainings on how religious communities are supporting those who are struggling with addiction. So through those community partnerships for the past couple of years, a conversation began about how critical it is for persons with addiction to have safe and affordable housing. And this man who I had never met before, many of us had never met before, but who had recently entered into recovery and was coming to meetings here at Gates, saw a possibility. What would and could happen if there was safe and affordable housing here at Gates? That initial conversation didn't quite work out, but it did get some people thinking and talking. So that was the first part of what happened. Here's the second part of what happened. Gates Presbyterian Church started a community garden. And I know that sounds completely and totally unrelated, but Channel 10 did an interview segment with me about the garden, and the CEO and president of Pathstone Corporation saw the interview at 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Stuart Mitchell is an ordained Methodist pastor, and he called that day to ask if I would give the blessing at a groundbreaking ceremony for Crean Commons, the affordable housing development over on Lyle here in Gates. And I began to learn more about the work that Pathstone is doing to support safe and affordable housing for vulnerable populations. And my asking about these questions led to more conversations, and this idea began to bubble up. Because of the work that you're already doing, it was a natural connection that we would start exploring some conversations about how Pathstone and East House are working together. So East House is also a nonprofit organization. They focus on serving individuals with persistent mental illness and substance use disorder. So Pathstone and East House have already partnered together, creating housing that serves the Rochester area. And once those conversations began to emerge as something that really could happen maybe here in Gates, Ed Coons, Dick Stewart, Mary Hadley, Bill DeCero became a part of that conversation. And the purpose of those was just to learn more how both organizations are working together, what they saw as potential here at GPC to create affordable housing for persons with substance use disorders and veterans. Those two populations, how appropriate for this weekend. And these are the two populations that, from conversations with folks in the town of Gates, including the police chief, the now out of office town supervisor, and other community leaders, that we have heard this is such a great need here in Gates. So we began moving forward to see what could come of this right before our time of renewal this summer. There was a really aggressive timeline that was proposed that included conversations between Pathstone, East House, trustees, and session. Part of that aggressive timeline came from some of my insistence because we were watching the political cycle, right? But that timeline became very obsolete when Marcassini stepped down as town supervisor. So there are timelines in your packets. One is very draft and is not relevant. One is a bit more updated, but any of it is just draft possibilities. Because what's not included in there is the timeline that we're going to have to deal with when we talk about working with Presbytery, because we know that the building and the land belongs to Presbytery, not us as an individual church. So what we wanted to put in your hands today is the model of a concept, and it looks very fancy. But I assure you that it was put together very quickly, but by people who know how to do their job, because it's what they do all the time. So they're giving us something to look at and think about. So here's what we know. Pathstone is a nonprofit community development and human service organization that works with lower-income families and vulnerable populations. They are not a commercial developer, okay? I'm familiar with Pathstone also because of some of my work with the board with Rural Migrant Ministry. Pathstone has a very big portfolio of what they do here in the Northeast and Puerto Rico. You can take a look more about that on the website. But they are upstate New York's most active nonprofit developer. And they would be the ones handling any of the potential property development, building, permits, all of that fun stuff. The other potential partner is East House. Nonprofit organization serves individuals with persistent mental illness and substance abuse. They would be the ones responsible for handling the community resident side of things by providing on-site staff, recovery service, and care coordination. So, Pathstone and East House already know how to do this because they're partners with each other and are inviting us into a potential partnership moving forward. So, you can go through your packet. The other piece of paper was just a letter from Irene and Tom Ward, since they could not be here today. I cannot emphasize enough that this is rough draft to help us imagine a concept. Today, we are not going to discuss parking lots, driveways, traffic flow, shed placements, easements, or exact placements or number of stories of buildings, okay? Those are what we kind of call getting into the weeds. Those are also maybe steps 3, 4, and 5. We are here today to start with the concept of the property being utilized for development by Pathstone and East House to build mixed-income housing, identifying veterans and those who are in recovery from substance abuse as primary populations. What we need to do today is to kind of roll around a little bit with how does this align with our mission here at GPC? Does this opportunity support the ways in which we live into our mission to worship God, follow Jesus, love our neighbors? And we are hearing from members of the community, those most in need here in Gates, that those are the populations who are most vulnerable and in need. Are we willing to listen to that? So that's enough of me talking. There's a lot of questions. A lot of them we're not going to have answers for today. But your questions are an important part of the way that we move forward. So I'm not taking notes. I see Bill DeSero with some paper, but we're also recording this just so we have an opportunity if we want to go back through and listen. And some folks who couldn't be here today wanted a chance to listen to it as well. It won't be up on the website. You'll have to email and ask for it. So we're going to ask, Meredith is going to be our runner with the microphone. If you have a question, you need to wait for the microphone, please. Wait for me to acknowledge you. I will do my best to get around to everyone, and so that you have a chance to ask your questions. If There is some opportunity for response. We've got our team who is sitting up here with their own microphone. They don't have to run around, and we'll do our best. Okay? All right, so that's what we're going to do, and we're going to go for half hour, 45 minutes-ish, or until we peter out, whatever comes first. All right, so Kate, I see right there, and... Okay, hold on a quick second. So also talking over isn't going to be helpful. Gary, is the microphone up? Okay, is it on?
Can you hear me? Oh,
there we go.
There it is.
There we go. So we'll just, if you'll tell us who you are, and thank you.
Kate Stanford, and everybody who was able to read the letter from Tom and Irene know that they're fully supported behind it. And I want to give kind of a different perspective, because most of us live in Gates. I am a mental health counselor in an inner city clinic. I have a caseload of 100 people. That is a revolving caseload, and I've been there 6 years. The biggest need that I see constantly in my office is for housing. There is not safe housing for the vast majority of low-income people in our city. I see people coming in who are raising their children in roach-infested homes, in rat-infested homes, afraid to send their children to school, to the bus stop, or to outside their house because they're getting shot at. And these are little children. These are not teenagers. These are moms, single parents, who are recovering some substance abuse that want to do better but don't have the opportunity because the rent, low-income rent in our city, starts at $600 to $700 a month. When you are getting food stamps and maybe $300 to $400 for rent, that puts most of it out of their ability. So they're living in unsafe housing and raising their children in this. And when you're raised in that, it's very difficult to continue your journey of recovering and raising your children to be able to have healthy, happy lives. And we in Gates don't realize that. And like I said, this is a big population that I've worked with for many years. Our mental health community serves over 2,000 active cases. That is a revolving caseload. So I know there's a lot of thought about not doing this, but I would really ask you to prayerfully consider this. Thank you.
You. And I'm going to try to also, just so folks do know, I will look at my watch occasionally. We're going to try to keep comments to in about a minute per comment, okay? Kate, you did a good job modeling that. Round one. So we'll go back here to Jim and then Donna.
My name is Jim Madaw. I got to confess, when I first heard of this, the first thing that came to my mind was our friends the Catholics have been doing things like this for centuries. And maybe it's high time that we Protestants got on board with this. So I'd like to see it go forward.
Thank you. I saw Donna's hand. Right, go one pew back and over. There you go.
Donna Schott. I think as Christians, we can all agree that we want to help people, definitely. But excuse my ignorance. I guess I would like an explanation of, and maybe this isn't the meeting, I don't know, how this works, who funds this, how, you know, all those financial questions. That's where I need to get my information.
Yep, that's awesome. That is a great question. And do one of you want to respond to that question? Because Pastone has had that with us. All right, go in, Ed, I'm going to grab some.
The funding comes from various sources. First of all, my name's Ed Coons, for those of you who don't know me. The funding comes from federal and state funds and also private investors. And basically, shares are bought in the property.
Thank you, Ed. Another question. Back in the corner. There we go. All right, you guys all get to sit. I get to sit too.
Rich Eisman. Follow up to Ed's comment here as far as the financials. Are we basically talking of our contribution into this project is our property with outside funding to create this and agreeing that we want this as in our community, and that's our contribution to this project?
So our contribution, a big part of it, is a willingness to do this, and is also, someone's grabbing. Go, Ed. You want to finish?
Yeah, basically, the funding, again, comes from the sources that I mentioned. GPC does not provide any funding. The property that would be used for this site would actually be sold by this church to a separate corporation and be owned by them. Originally, we looked at two ways of doing it, selling it and leasing it. I think it's in the, my personal opinion is it's in GPC's best interest to actually sell the property. What that does for us is it gives us a source of funding that we can use for the maintenance costs that we're going to be facing in the future.
With our own building,
yeah,
not with...
Next 2 or 3 years, we're going to spend $80,000 to put a new roof on the annex. And those kind of major repairs are going to continue to come down in the future.
Okay. Good question. Let's see. We'll come up here. Do we have any questions? And we have some on this side, too. But we'll come up this way, right here.
Excuse me. I'm wondering if, Jenny Deacon, I'm wondering if the value of this property has been determined, and if so, what it is?
We have not put an exact price on the value of the property as of yet.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So we've got a question here, and then I am seeing hands over in my eyes. Thank you, Christy, for your help on this.
Don Plummer, this is an informational. Is the congregation going to finally vote whether we want to do this project or not?
We will. So Presbyterian polity will dictate that we as a congregation will have to vote as to whether or not to sell the property. And it will not only reside in a vote here of the congregation, but also the presbytery will also need to take a vote to do that. But we are not doing that today.
And the Gates Town Board has to approve this too, right?
Correct. And Pathstone has been in conversation with the Gates Town Board about this possibility. Okay. Yep. So we'll come over here to Keisha.
Keisha Binko. You said before that we're talking about entering into a partnership. What does that mean? What are we partnering? What's our purpose? What's our role in the partnership?
Mm-hmm. That's been a great question, Keisha, that a number of people have asked. And part of the partnership is, in this stage, an openness and willingness to engage in the conversation, to practice the hospitality that we say that we are about, GPC. And this is an incredible mission opportunity. But what does that mission partnership look like? At this point, we don't know, because you all know from doing such great mission, we don't create mission for people. We are in dialogue with communities, and we partner together for what that could look like. So since we don't necessarily know yet, that'll be as determined. Does that help? Kind of. The answer, we don't have an answer to that question, is part of it. Bev.
Hi, Beth Switzer.
Can you put the microphone to me? There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I know this is a very needed project, but I'm also concerned with our baseball field. It's been a part of our church community for several years. And myself, I will, you know, where we all came together for years, and I did hear that we probably would get a field off-site, but it's not the same. It's a big community.
Thank you, Beth. Other questions over here?
Carol Brown, how much land are you talking about? All behind the parking lot?
Yes.
the whole length? What are you going to do for ingress and egress?
So that's one of the questions we're not talking about today.
It's a necessary one.
Yes, and the question will most definitely be handled by the people who will be tasked to develop that, but not as a committee or congregation of the whole.
Jan Buettner, I just have a fast question for you. Do you know the name of the Director of Residential Services at East House?
At East House?
We'll be overseeing the residents.
We've been meeting with the CEO over there.
No, I mean the director of the residential services. Anybody know who that is? Because I did work before the East House. I was just curious to know who it was. That was all.
Great, great. No, okay. That's not who we've been meeting with. We've been meeting high level.
Higher up. Okay.
Questions over here.
Do we have a lawyer looking at this?
We will have to, and we will talk. We have a presbytery lawyer who is on retainer for all the congregations in the presbytery, Barbara James, and she's also been a trustee. So she will have lots of eyes on it. Yes.
Dick Kern, looking at this site plan, I'm concerned about parking. This unit is going to be taking any available parking lot. What happens to Gates Presbyterian Church if we have a heavy, like a holidays, Christmas? Where do we go?
Yep. So
this is all we have, this
parking
property.
Parking lots and egresses, again, are those steps, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They are down the road. Because if we first need to have this conversation about the larger concept, about this being a possibility, because to have a sense of if we're appropriately, faithfully nervous about moving forward, and moving forward is the direction that God is calling us to, those are the kind of conversations we can have. But if we're feeling that that's not, then that's just, we don't have to talk about parking lots. Go ahead, Mary.
Yeah, all these questions, they are great questions. And Melissa and the four of us that have kind of been working on this have had the same questions. And I think we can safely say that we feel like there are resolutions that keep GPC in a good way for every single question. But the details of figuring out how that might be, you know, they are down the road. But they're not, we don't think they're unsolvable.
Donna Schott again. My concern, I guess, is that that's all we have. That land back there is all this church has. There won't be room for expansion. My dream someday was always a youth center or a community center where we could have our craft sales. We wouldn't have to disrupt this whole church. That's my concern. I realize we need income. I don't know. This letter had many said things that were stable financially. If we're stable financially, like the letter said, why are we looking for more income? I don't know. It's confusing. I think it's a great idea. I think we do need it in Gates. I don't believe we need to do it here on this property. I think there's plenty of other vacant properties in Gates, if it has to be in Gates. Doesn't have to be in Gates. Let's look in Chalai. There's no reason this church can't be involved at some other location. That's my concern.
Thank you, Donna. I see JC's hand over this way.
JC Wushon. I think I heard Ed mention that there will be some income potential for us. If the property belonged to the presbytery, I'm just trying to figure out where does that income benefit us?
So the history from a presbytery perspective, with an active congregation here in this building and on this property, if we come to the presbytery and make the recommendation of the sale of that property, that income is then designated back to the congregation as long as there is an active worshiping community here in this space. So that's been the practice of the presbytery. And Bill can also... We were in conversation with the Penfield Presbyterian Church, who just sold some property at the last Presbytery meeting, and that's how that works. So. Okay.
Oh, Jan Buettner again. Going back to Donna's concern, is there any way for going ahead with this project that this development could include a room, a space that GPC could use? Could that be part of what our deal is with this company? Number one. And number two, do we get any naming rights that gives us some publicity and some recognition in the community, not just because we're doing this as a mission, but so people know we're here, too?
Great. Thank you. Good question. Saw Jack's hand over here. Okay. No, it's okay. Go to Frona, and then we'll come this way. And get your steps in today.
Good morning. First question is, has our neighbors been in on this? Do they get a chance to vote, or will they be asked and told what's going to be happening?
Fern, I think that's part of a bigger question about who are our neighbors. So, right, this question came up during the session meeting as well, and so the next week I decided to go, and I've done this before, but walk what our neighborhood is to see, like, who are we talking to? It raised a lot of good questions for me, and I think a lot of them for session and trustees. What would that look like to talk to our neighbors? But no, they wouldn't get a vote in it.
Okay, that was your opinion, I guess. I am not for this. Who volunteers as much as I do, like you do? And I love every minute of it. But if I fear that might be some work, just a tiny bit of danger in what we're doing, we do not have a lot of room. Our church is doing well. We can have all the cars here we want when we have our things going on. I just have a fear we're going to live with that at all times. Unfortunately, I don't like to talk about it, but my son was homeless for quite a long time and was welcomed to my home when he was in a good way. And they get so depressed, and they're trying to get better, and that's what we would be doing. But are we ready for that responsibility? I am not sure. And I guess we need to learn more about this and do a lot of praying and thinking. Thank you.
Thank you, Frona. So we're going to come over here to Jack, and then we'll go to Ted, because Jack keeps putting his arm up. Let him bring it down.
Jack Beatty. Getting back to the idea of the big picture that we're looking at today, as a Christian community, I know we feel we want to do something, and something positive, and to be that our mission. To continue our mission. I think it's in everyone's heart, though, it's in mine, is what is the sense of scale of this proposition that we see on this paper versus what do we really feel as a congregation is the size, the scope, how can we help and make it really us and what we want? And that's what this conversation, I think, at this level is. But I think that's really important to think about. What we haven't thought about this before. We have an opportunity to make some good things happen, but at what size and scale, I can't tell from where we are now.
Okay. Thank you. So Tess, and then back to Keisha.
Tess McHale. I work with Goodwill. We have a lot of programs that reach out in the community and that people come to us. We do work with East House program participants. They mostly come to our Clinton Ave store. They are in programs. They're monitored. They have specific things, classes, places they have to be. They have to be in counseling. They also have to do community service, which is where Goodwill comes in. And they come into our store and volunteer. And some of them do fabulous things. We end up hiring a lot of them. Some do not. Some fall out of their program. But it's no different than the people we hire off the street. It's no different than the people that are living in the apartments next door. Turn the right way.
I'm getting a little emotional, and I apologize. They're people just like you and I. They have hard days. They have good days. We all have bad days, and I think we need to think about that. Let's give them some better days.
Thank you, Tess. I think I saw a hand, Keisha, over here, and then Fran over here.
Keisha Binkle again. Just to piggyback on what a couple of people have said, kind of raises a question in my mind. Did this opportunity come to us for our property back there? Did we seek out, like, say, oh, we've got this property. What can we do with it? So if it was the latter, and we said, okay, we've got this property. Let's see how we can use it. And you heard about this program, and naturally we've been exploring it as a potential possibility. Has there been any discussion around what other uses that property could be used for? I just recall years ago there was some talk about building not necessarily a community center, but like a Black Creek Park kind of lodge that we could use, that we could put showers and bathrooms in, have a small kitchen, rent it out for youth retreats, rent it, have mission project groups come here and stay on our property, have it be a place that people could rent for showers and weddings and retirement parties and graduation parties and things like that, which would also, again, be a source of revenue for the church. So I'm just wondering, has there been discussion about other uses for that area back there?
Are you okay with me answering that question? They're all nodding their heads frantically. the answer to that question, which is a good one, Keisha, really good question. Yes and no to all parts of it, because did we go to East House or Pathstone? No. Did they come to us? No. As I kind of outlined in the beginning, where I was talking about these different kind of circumstances that brought us together, where these conversations began to bubble up that asked questions. So what about this as a possibility? Could this be something? We asked the questions. Pathstone asked the question. East House asked the question. And that's how it got started. And no one, to my knowledge, has been knocking on our door looking to develop that property. No one that I'm aware of is saying we want to do that. What we do know is that entering into a partnership with Pathstone and East House means that we are not responsible for the management, oversight, property upkeep, all of the things that other ideas that have actually come to be, that started in this congregation about a mission center. Well, God found an opportunity for that to happen down at Calvary St. Andrews in what is now Rock Salt. And so that is being born just somewhere else. To my knowledge, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here, our congregation does not have the capacity to go out and seek all the possibilities and opportunities, to go through all the bidding process, to do all of the steps that would be involved to see what could happen out here. Each time those ideas have come up, there have been the stopping points of saying, well, who's going to do that? And people stopping to make eye contact, not making eye contact, right? Well, this is something that is just a totally different wheelhouse. It's just this completely different thing that none of us ever thought of. I certainly didn't think it was a possibility until the conversation and questions started happening. Did I answer that all right? You guys get that okay? All right. I saw a hand up over here, and I'm hearing people getting a little restless, so we're going to go about 15 more minutes or so. We'll make our way. I see hands back there, too. Want to give people, at this point, Joanne, I see you, people who are waving their hands, I would like to give an opportunity first to those who have not spoken yet. Okay? So anyone who has not spoken, this will be your time.
Joanne Vander. As many of you know, I have a grandson that has very bad mental health things. I have questions on this as much as I really, really think that we do need mental health and things. I'd like some answers on How much is this, are they going to be, have counselors with them, protection for the things? And I know how great that our son, grandson has tried to get mental health, that, and he goes off and things. How are we going to be protected? And I think that doing something for the mental health is really great, but I'd like to know some of the particulars and how everybody be safe. And that's, I think, that maybe if we can have answers about that later, I would really appreciate it.
Good. Thank you, Joanne. Thank you for raising the question and acknowledging that we don't have all the answers right now. So so back this way, we'll just kind of work your way along the edge.
Hi, I'm Jerry Crandall. As you know, haven't been a resident here too long. But when I look at it and just kind of looking over the thing, it looks like there's like 40 units that you're considering. And if they have two or three people in each unit, you know, that might amount to 120 people. I don't think there's anybody in here that doesn't want to help out people. And the needs are great. I guess what might look as a better picture is those people are going to have a lot of attention, hopefully, through the Monroe County Mental Health Department and, you know, different organizations out there. I'm just talking off the top of my head now. But if some of those places, like the probation department, mental health, substance abuse centers, if they could come in and give people an idea about what is the outcome, is this just isn't a place to house them and let them run loose? I don't think it is anyway, okay? That they're going to be monitored. And if there are maybe even members of the congregation here that they have people that have needs, is there a possibility that they could get preference to utilizing the facilities to help with the burden of a lot of people? Because I know there's people in this congregation that do have issues.
Absolutely.
In their family.
So we're, you know, definitely 6, 7, 8 down. We do have folks from Pathstone and East House who are very ready, very excited to come talk more about their organization and the services provided, if that is the step that we want to kind of to do those next steps.
I just think that people would like to see an outcome more of what, how successful the programs could be, instead of just like the Field of Dreams, build it and they'll come, you know? And I think that's what
both
we
Pathstone
are
and East Coast House would be very happy to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jim, did you have a question too? Okay. Right there.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm Jim Mosgraber, for those of you that don't know me. I have a question and a comment. I have the privilege of serving on the board of directors of the National Alliance on Mental Illness. My question is, I heard veterans were going to be included in this as a participant group, and yet East House, although they do serve veterans, it's more coincidental. They're not focused on veterans. So who is the advocacy group with the professional insights into dealing with veterans? I didn't hear that.
It's a good question.
And then the comment that I just wanted to make is, I'm sure that this project will be fully vetted. I'm sure everyone's questions and concerns will be addressed. I just had one comment that I want people to think about from the standpoint of, I've heard a couple issues about concerns about safety and security and so on. I would contend that, to me, the most dangerous and most concerning people who either suffer from mental illness or who have opioid addiction are those who are not in treatment and not in recovery. So this is indeed a step toward that, to support that. And I think we need to keep that in mind. And then also, just another thought is, I heard opioid dependency or substance abuse dependency, and I heard veterans. I didn't hear much about mental illness. Which, quite frankly, if you look at the demographics, there are more people in Monroe County diagnosed with a mental illness than there is veterans who suffer from specific PTSD or other issues, or the opioid crisis. So in other words, if you're looking at populations at risk that need services and need assistance, those with a mental health diagnosis eclipses both of those groups. So just keep that in mind as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. All right. Can folks who have their hands up put them up high so we can see? We'll go back to Ginny and Al. So that works too.
Al Waugh. For the last 15, maybe 20 years, I've been on the Mission Peacemaking Committee, helping guide us, use our funds for different projects as we see them come along. So I've had a lot of opportunity to see some of the ones that didn't make it. And when I think back on it, part of the reason for the things that require other people to get services is that this part of Gates is not really well serviced for public transportation and so forth. And these people that come to these houses, they're there to live, but they get their real services elsewhere. And if you don't have a way for them to easily, morning, noon, and night, get to these other services or from jobs or whatever, you're putting a big, big constriction on how well they can perform. So somebody in the committee that's thinking down the road about access is more than driveways. It's just getting to this part of Gates. And a second thing, it's just because I've been using it a lot since I've been a grandfather. What about the playground and its use for our preschool? It gets used a lot. The driveway in the spring and summertime gets used as a playground for them to ride in. When it becomes a thoroughfare, all that's off for the preschool. They ought to be thought of along the way as how they're going to care for them. Thanks.
Melissa, can I add, just respond?
Go ahead.
I want to respond to the veteran question, Jim, because I believe when we had conversations with Pathstone and East House, not all of the units would be East House units, and Pathstone provides some services, I believe, as well. So it would be sort of a mixed-use type of situation for supportive housing. And one other quick comment. I feel compelled to say this as the co-chair of trustees. Yes, we are in good financial stead, and hopefully even better after Stewardship Sunday today. But there are things that each year we push down the road. We have some major plumbing issues. We have a roof to repair. Once that roof is done, we'll have to start working on other roofs. This church requires a lot of care and attention, and oftentimes, whether it's paving the parking lot, which we spend time patching but not really paving, if there's a partner in this, a lot of that revenue helps us cover some of this and potentially even adds money in to be able to do mission work because we'd have revenue. So I think, you know, there's certainly a lot more to do, but we do have financial concerns that are on the horizon.
Thank you. Where was the mic? Jenny's got it. Thank you.
Jenny Barley. I have a question and a concern. The question is just generally out of just wondering, are there other properties that are being evaluated for this kind of a facility within the presbytery that we know of?
No, by Pathstone and East House, no. We would be the only Presbyterian church that they are exploring this option. Pathstone and East House have partnerships where they have done the mixed income and affordable housing. Those exist, and Pathstone is doing a lot of their own development throughout Rochester, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, Puerto Rico, like I said, so they have other models where they're doing that, but not in this presbytery with another church.
Okay, good. The other comment that I had was, I was very happy to hear that if we do go through with this, we will be selling the property and we will have the income from that sale. Once we get the income from that sale, and I know as well as the people sitting up there, that there are needs, financial needs for the church as far as utilities and roof and one thing or another. But once we've paid for all those, we still have a facility back there that we have no control over. If anything goes wrong, things don't work out, whatever, it's not our property anymore. Right. And there's nothing we can do. So that's just a concern at that point. At this point. Negative or positive or whatever.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions by folks who have not had a chance to speak? So lots of steps. Ready, Meredith? Simon's going to... and then just so I can see any hands while Meredith's moving. Okay, so I just want to make sure anyone who has not had a chance to talk yet.
Thank you. My name is Simon. My question has to do with the finances. I heard that money is going to come from the state. It said that he who pays the piper calls the tune. My question is, how much control is the state going to have over this project after its completion? Because if the state has too much control over it, then it defeats the whole mission of the project.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, Simon. Not one we've explored yet, so that's helpful. Oh, let's do a microphone. So,
since I have one, can I go ahead?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. The question that I had is back to a practical one. It's all well and good. It'll be back there. But I'm thinking of entrance and exit. Parking. Will that be in our parking lot? Where, you know, and how do we handle that? What about on a Sunday morning or if there's an event going on during the week? What about when we do church bazaar?
Yep.
You kind of have to think about all
yep.
those uses that are going to be made of the property that aren't the building itself.
So those are, again, the detailed questions. And, Kate, I'm just going to have you hold off because we're coming back to, I know how much we love it, getting down into the weeds. Keith and I sit on the rock salt board, and they actually have a picture of weeds, and when we get into it, it gets raised up. It's very helpful. Of course, because those are tangible, right? Like, these are where we're going to be most concerned are the details that impact our everyday. But as Mary also said, that there are solutions to this, and we really can't even get to those weeds until we have a sense of this bigger picture concept, if it is something that Gates Presbyterian Church is open to moving forward on. And we're not taking a vote, we're not taking motions. That's just where the focus of the conversation, because this week, we're going to wrap up here in just a few minutes, this week, trustees meets on Monday night. Session meets on Thursday night. I'm going to guess the focus of both of those meetings is to debrief some of what we heard today. And to figure out, so what next? That hasn't been figured out yet. We're trying to include you at the very beginning of the conversation, which means there's frustration because you want the details. But we want to make you part of the conversation at the start. And then we'll get to the details. You're going to have to be patient with us. This isn't going to happen overnight. We're not even going to have resolution by the end of this week at all. We're talking about months of openness and patience and a willingness to keep this conversation going if session and trustees kind of get a feel that that's what is decided or not, to keep it going. But we're talking months, years even, for a project like this to fully unfold. Bless you. So, Christy.
Christy Stewart. Just a point of information. I've worked on the development for Cottage Grove out in North Chilai by the Presbyterian Home. And there is a chance for neighbors to speak up, like the apartment mm-hmm. people. There will be a town board meeting. There's so many checks and balances along the way. I know when the Rochester Presbyterian Home developed out in Penfield and Creekstone, the neighbors had a real concern for traffic patterns and density issues. You know, how many people do you want to put in this space? And the town actually has laws and requirements that they go through, and neighbors and even our church would have a chance to say, wait a second, it needs to be less dense. We need to make sure the traffic pattern on Wegman isn't a detriment with the school being down there. But there is a chance to speak up by everybody.
Thank you, Christy. That's very helpful from folks who have done this before. So I see your hand. I just want to see if there is anyone else who hasn't had a chance to speak who would like a chance. Linda, and then I promise we'll wrap up with some of the folks who've had a chance to talk.
Linda Beattie. I just want to say that when we think about our neighbors, not the apartments next door or across the street, our church is used for so many organizations, too, the Boy Scouts, and we have RAP and things like that. And to think of what they would feel about this change. And also, I think one of my concerns is we had talked about leasing the land, which gave us some control. Sale of the land is something that I have concerns about myself, and the size of the project, not what it's for, because Pathstone's mission statement meshes with our mission statement so well. I believe in Pathstone, East House meshes with our mission statement so well, and I believe in it, and I know firsthand that there are needs for those things. I have a daughter-in-law that is a drug abuser. And so it's ex-daughter-in-law, thank you. So I know there's a need. But this project sitting in our backyard is something that's going to sit there forever, and it's large. And it's not something that if we were able to say, you know, what would we envision for being out there is not an apartment complex, basically. That is my feeling, and I have expressed this. And it tears me apart because the mission part of it is what I believe in. But anyhow, I just wanted to get that out, and maybe in session I haven't said this clearly, because I am grappling with this myself very deeply.
Thank you, Linda, for your honesty in that. So we're going to go, I see Jan, and then we'll do Kate, and then we're going to wrap up here.
I just wanted to kind of wrap this up by saying that having worked my entire life with New York State, with people with special needs and all different kinds of special needs, I'm encouraged that I'm not hearing, we don't want those people. Because if you think back 25, 30 years ago when group homes were being developed and people with developmental disabilities were being used in the community, that's what you heard from people. I don't want those people in my neighborhood, not next door to me. So I'm very encouraged that we're not hearing any of that. So I think we all have it in our hearts that this is something that we see the need, we want to act on it. And there's a reason that the Lord has brought this to us, and there's a reason why we need to think on it and pray on it then. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. All right, we're going to take final comment here, and then I'll do just a minute of what's next, and we'll go from there.
So my question is, I know we've been talking about with East House and Pathstone. Is there the opportunity to look at other populations aside from the CD? Because there was a very good point. We don't have buses out here, and they will need those because they can't get to appointments or to a job if there is not bus routes.
So I will say that for anyone who feels excitement and energy to explore other possibilities, let me know. That'd be awesome. But the great group who has come forward and felt the call about this opportunity has stayed very focused on this opportunity. And I'm going to speak for you all, and you can tell me if it's out of order. But I'm guessing you all don't want to go out and explore all the opportunities that are out there. Is that correct? You don't want to do that. But anyone else who does want to do that, Session and Trustees would be delighted for you to explore those possibilities in full. I already have a pretty big stack of good ideas on my desk. So if you're lacking the good ideas, I'm happy to... But what we just, the people who feel the passion to really carry out the due diligence, to look into all the possibilities, haven't been knocking down my door yet. So if you're one of them,
Melissa,
love to take them.
Pathstone does do more than just CD, and that's you're already partnered with them. So see what they would like to do if we don't want to do CD.
So I'm going to wrap us up now. So friends, before you... Great question, Frona. All right, so before we start talking over each other, okay, because that's not going to be helpful, I am going to remind you all about good communication practices. While the parking lot conversations are helpful because to some degree we're able to kind of discuss this, productive and helpful feedback, though, is offered face-to-face. And if you feel a lot of energy stirring and want a chance to talk with me and a member of session or a trustee or any combination of that, please let me know. If you send me an email that details all of your energy, I will respond back immediately saying thank you for the feedback. Let's have a conversation. I believe that the only way that we can be faithful in how we are church together is to do what we've done today and to keep the conversations face to face. There will be follow-up communication. When there is follow-up communication that's relevant to distribute, I'm not going to just send pieces of paper in the mail that say we're talking about this. When we have something more, we'll let you know. And we'll also, as session and trustees, be determining what's the way forward and what does it look like based on what we've done here today. Thank you all for being here, for your voice being raised. This is how we're church together. So thank you. All right. Have a good afternoon.